the human being, insan, is always under two conditions or two situations. The whole life, if you look back and experience and analyze from morning till evening, then there are two situations that confront us at all times. At all times. One is happiness, ease, and one is sadness. Sadness. So these two conditions or situations confront us or present themselves to us mostly. Apart from these two, it's difficult that we'll have something else around us. So either there'll be happiness, and a person can be in the state of happiness. For example, if something little bit good happens, or for example, let's take an example, you get some news, a good piece of news, then you'll become happy. You'll become happy. Or if a very big piece of news comes, something you were looking forward to, or maybe not looking forward to, but if it was good, so happy you become. And for example, you go shopping and you get something really that fancy, you fancy, you'd be very happy. Or if you are waiting for something and then that waiting, that period of waiting ends, and you get what you were waiting for, or hear what you were waiting for, so it's happiness. So you either get the extreme or a little bit of happiness, or you get the sadness. And these two situations run parallel with us in our lives. And why? And there's only one answer for this. That what Allah wills, that's it. Allah Ta'ala has put us into these two situations or circumstances, happiness, sadness, gladness or distress. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's law and system is such with His servants that there's nothing that is without the wisdom and reason. Everything Allah Ta'ala has made is beneficial for insan, the human being. Even if, for example, there's sadness, there's benefit. Even in happiness, there's benefit. And in sadness, there's benefit. So nothing is without the benefit. There's benefit in everything. You'll say, how can there be benefit in sadness? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in the happiness, Allah has put more benefit for the insan, for the human being. Yeah? Now, sadness comes from Allah, happiness comes from Allah. Distress comes from Allah, and being overjoyed comes from Allah. But even if we get distress or sadness or issues, there's something in that state, situation or condition that is good for us. Now, both of these conditions, happiness and sadness, we waste both of them in a big way. Whereas both of these situations are very valuable and beneficial and azeem and great and important for the human being. If I attain happiness, then see. All the fireworks and the celebrations and the shouting and overjoying celebration. So much celebration and happiness that person forgets Allah. The more, the bigger the happiness, the more we forget our Rabb and go towards kharafat and loss and wasteful activity. So this happiness, or whether it's not happy, we see Ramadan, it comes. And after Ramadan passes away, Eid comes. And on Eid, we start the celebrations that make us forget our Lord. We are so useless that the things Allah Ta'ala gives to us, hit the good things, we don't pay attention. Except those who are pious and upright and who understand that what really is the dunya. And they do tafakkur. They ponder over the important things. We become happy. We think, oh, this is due to me and I attained this or I did this, and we get happy. And another point is we celebrate, for example, the birthday. We have wasteful functions, anniversaries, time. Because we think we've got time. We've got money, we've got time, and we've got shaitan. And these three things combined will always make us waste our time. Our time. But happiness is a great, great ni'mah of Allah. Great gift and blessing which we waste in the wrong way. And in the same way, sadness. If sadness comes, we go to the extreme. The opposite. That if a person is sad, he forgets his Rabb. Oh, forget this. What deen, what mu'amulat, what deeds shall I implement? Such bad words emanate from a person's mouth that he leaves salah. In happiness, we leave salah. And when there's a wedding and there's a function, we're busy, we leave our salah. It's qada, it's delayed, eating, drinking, celebrating. And the same happens when we're unhappy. If the unhappiness comes, the sad time comes, Allah Ta'ala sends us a trial or a test or a challenge, then we think, oh, this is a big burden, or why has this happened to me? And we start to complain and criticize, and we leave the deen. We leave Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. So these both conditions are great ni'mat from Allah and should give us benefit eternal. But we waste them. If only we were to understand, just like the walis of Allah understood, or the good people understood, that both conditions, happiness and sadness, are opportunities or ibadat. They are times for us to do ibadah to attain a lot of benefit and reward. Now, if Allah Ta'ala, as He has stated in the Quran, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our beloved Habib, the Habib of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way He's told us, if we pay attention to the verses of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and just like the scholars have explained to us, if we pay attention to their words and understand, then we wouldn't be mad and crazy and foolish people who waste the time and the opportunity. For example, a time of sadness comes. What sadness? What is this example? Let's say a difficulty comes. Sadness in the form of difficulty. Sometimes difficulties come, hardships come, difficult times come. Now what do we do in that situation? What should we do? What do we do? We don't know what we should do, how we should react. We can't understand what to do. We're in a predicament. Allah Ta'ala's Quran explains to us. Now listen carefully. Carefully. Allah Ta'ala says there's one kalima, one thing to recite. And if we implement that kalima, recite it, you cannot imagine how much reward and ajr and gifts Allah Ta'ala set aside upon reciting this kalima in the time of hardship, difficulty. One kalima to recite. One statement. Any difficulty comes, a problem, an illness, which always are there with us. They're always there. Just recite one kalima. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. All of the issue will come into control. We just have to recite this one kalima in the time of difficulty or distress. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And what do we get from Allah? There are many ahadith and many explanations, but I'll tell you one hadith. One hadith. For those who want to implement and practice, this is enough, this one hadith. There's a hadith in which it is stated in Ahmad, it's narrated in Tabarani, Ibn Majah, in Hakim, and Hazrat Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrates this hadith. I'm telling you one hadith. There are many very good hadith on this subject. He stated that when a person enters into an issue and he recites this kalima, this statement, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will immediately give him so much that in this world and whatever this world contains, whatever this world is and what it contains, Allah will give him something much better than all of this. Aha, subhanallah. Abu Baida radiallahu anhu stated that as soon as the person narrates this kalima when he's in the state of difficulty, then three things become wajib from Allah on that person. Compulsory. When he has the difficulty and he recites this verse, then from Allah three things become wajib to come to that person. Number one, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy. He is bathing in Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, Allah's mercy. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to praise that individual. Allah Ta'ala starts to praise that individual. And Allah's rahmah, you start swimming in Allah's rahmah, mercy. Allah's praise comes to that people. Allah's rewards descend on that person. Descend on that person. Is this not enough for us? Is this nothing? Is this no man? Look, imagine this wealth. And third, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and writes and records His name in the list of the people who have hidayah, the muttaqeen, those who are rightly guided. Tell me now. Tell me. So the difficulty came from Allah. And whoever recognizes a difficulty, where does it come from? Allah. The difficulty comes from Allah. And straight away he recites this kalima. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So you have the difficulty, you've got the problem. The problem's there with you, but straight away these three rewards descend upon you and are given to you. Let's listen to another hadith. In this hadith it states that when a person gets a difficulty or a problem, then Allah Ta'ala says to the angels, Allah Ta'ala speaks to the angels that, look, this man, I have given him a problem. I put him into a problem, into a difficulty, into a predicament, into an issue, and he's earned a lot of pain through this. And the angels say, Allah, what is our order from you? Allah Ta'ala says, I'll tell you what you should do for this person. And Allah Ta'ala states that from me, I give you the order, the hukam, that put his name into the list of those people for Jannah and make Jannah wajib for this person, compulsory. Allah, and the ajr. Allah Ta'ala says the ajr, the reward, give him so much reward that you cannot imagine the amount. I will give him so much, I'll repay him so much that you cannot account the rewards I'll give to him. And how much reward does the person get? How much reward will he get? What will be the repayment from Allah for that person who absorbed the difficulty? That when we reach to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and when the distribution of the rewards will be given to people, and those people who had difficulties in the world, and they will have all of their luggage there to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their records and their deeds, and the difficulties that they experience in the world, and Allah will show them the reward for their difficulties. And let's take the word, what will be the reward, what will be the ajr for those people who patiently observe their difficulties? They'll say, Allah, we made a mistake. That even if our skins were cut with scissors, even then that was a favor upon us from you for getting this reward. And we didn't even go through that pain and difficulty. Even if that happened, Allah, that would have been a great ni'mah from you in order to get this reward that you're about to give. So imagine the great ajr Allah will give for a person who observes patiently the difficulties. And look how much a big ibadah we waste. What do we think is a difficulty? Let's define this first. We think that a person has a difficulty if we, for somebody hits us or steals from our home. Yeah, that's a problem. Or if the house is set on fire, your shop is set on fire, or something really disastrous occurs, or you get a severe illness, such an illness that you're lying down in hospital and there's no cure, and the doctors don't know what to do, and the pain is so high. And is this not enough? Even this is not nothing compared to that example of the hadith I've just mentioned to you. But look, Allah's rahmah and mercy and the love He has with His servants and the human beings. And what basis has Allah put the criteria for what is the definition of a difficulty? Because remember I said that two situations are always running in parallel with us. Allah Ta'ala says that if anything gives us difficulty or pain, that is the definition of problem. You understand what I'm saying? So we don't have to go to the extremes of ill health, hospital, and poverty. For example, you're sitting down and you have to go to work, and I forget my car keys. And where's the car key? That's a difficulty. And I say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I get the reward that we just discussed. Is this a difficulty? Is this a problem? It's nothing. But if a little bit of a negative comes onto our mind, little bit of a negative issue, and we'll say, what kind of difficulty is this? Let's say I sneeze a little bit. If I sneeze and there's a little bit of a problem, difficulty, if I recite this kalama, straight away I'll get that reward that Allah Ta'ala set aside. So anything in the world, in your life, that afflicts you, pain or difficulty or problem or issue, something that goes against the norm, your normal situation. For example, you wear a red shirt, somebody wears a color, and I don't like that color, it's against my normality, and it gives me a bit of a problem mentally, then straight away Allah gives the ajr if you recite that kalima. So anything that goes against your natural habit and trait, that even, for example, your senses or your understanding, there's a problem that opposes it. Not that you have to be going through a big illness or big disastrous time in your life. No. But if you have a small little degree of pain or problem or difficulty and you recite the kalima, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah says, I'll give you the reward straight away. What do we do? Oh, it's only a small kalima. What a great kalima is this. What is this that we're reciting? That after this, the whole life is changed. Now, Eva, for example, we are going through a big storm or a typhoon or a hurricane, and that's a massive thing. But here, these are small examples of problems I've just given, but Allah gives the same reward. Why? Because the person, the servant of Allah, is saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Allah, it's you. You have given the pain, and I accept this. Whatever degree of problem there is, you've given to me, and I accept. And he turns to Allah and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Allah, you are my Rabb, and I accept. And that person cannot say this who doesn't believe in the Rabb, can he? Only that person can say it who believes in his Rabb. And the person who doesn't believe in the Rabb and says this, then what will the thawab be for that person? So just to make us realize that Allah says, between me and you, there's a deep relationship, such a great relationship, that if any issue you have, any problem or pain or difficulty, and you remember me, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you a reward and I will give you the compensation for that. But don't forget me, Allah says. That's it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that His servant is negligent and he ignores Allah. Allah says, yes, those who don't believe me, who don't understand who I am, who don't accept me, Allah says, that's a different story. But you, O Muslimin, you believe in me, Inna lillahi, you believe me, you know about your Rabb, and you know, Allah Ta'ala says, and you've accepted here that you believe in me, you accept I'm your Lord, I'm your Rabb, your God, and you've forgotten such a big reality, Allah Ta'ala says. You've forgotten such a big reality. What is that? That eventually you have to come to me. Eventually you'll become to, and you've forgotten this fact. So just these two things, if you remember, that Allah is the Rabb, Allah is the one who gives, Allah gives happiness, Allah gives sadness, everything comes from Allah, every condition comes from Allah, and we know this, we accept this, and whatever is coming, Allah, we are going to you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. And you will not keep us empty from the ajr, and you will definitely give us the reward. Definitely you will repay us. We have this dialogue, then Allah will open up the treasure chest of rewards. So the Rabb, Allah. So if Allah Ta'ala has this relationship with His creation, and if we have a trust in Allah, and if Allah Ta'ala knows that this servant of mine, Allah says, at least remember me just this much. And when? At the time of difficulty. And I've told you the definition of difficulty. Even if your laces break, even if your laces break and it gives you a bit of a difficulty, even upon that, if you recite this kalima, Allah says, I will make Jannah wajib for you. Wajib for you. So this is the relationship, and Allah has made it easy for us. And look at this, it's so easy for us. Now let's say with honesty that in this majlis, I will ask you, how many times have we recited this kalima? Some brothers pray tahajjud, lots of Quran, who spend Ramadan in a nice way, there's the Hajji and he does Umrah, and everyone sitting, but never from our tongue has this kalima come from our tongues on a normal and a regular basis. And in our lives daily, regularly, we have problems, difficulties, and if we recited this kalima regularly, Allah Ta'ala promises, I will give you for every single problem, whichever issue has stopped you in your tracks, and you recite this kalima, Allah says, I'll give you the reward and give you better than this. As the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anha, I don't remember the whole event, but I'll give you a little bit of a hint here. So she, mashallah, Hazrat Salma radiyallahu anha, and her husband passed away, and she recited this kalima, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. And look here, her yaqeen and her belief, and look at the reward from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away gave the direction to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that marry this woman, marry this lady. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, and after marriage, and she was amazed how this happened, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nikah happened to her, and she said, so the reason for my nikah is this, that I recited this kalima and I had yaqeen that Allah will give me better than this, and my husband will lost, and what could I get better than this than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as my husband. Subhanallah. What was the reason for this? That whenever there's something to do that's easy, Allah wants to give us something that's good. Our mind and our brains think it's too hard and difficult to get. As I said before, that there are times in the day, every day we'll have a bit of difficulty. For example, you're trying to change the time, and the time isn't changing, and it's difficulty. Allah says, even if that difficulty, you recite the kalima, I'll give you the ajr, the reward. What's the reason that Allah Ta'ala wants from His servant? Allah Ta'ala wants that not a second passes that we are not with Allah. Allah says, I want you with me every second, subhanAllah. Even mentally, Allah Ta'ala says, not just in salah, you're doing ruku and sujood, you're remembering me, or you're in tawaf, or you're doing sa'i, safa, marwa, you're remembering me. Allah says, everybody does this. But Allah says, my servant is he, and that servant of mine, he or she, is who? That servanthood is that in every happiness and sadness, we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, for example, sadness, there are lots of examples. Somebody dies, your close relative, your child dies, a lot of sadness comes, and the person says at that time, these kalamas are recited. And sometimes even then people don't recite this kalima. They start crying and complaining and saying silly things. And there's another way a person goes to another direction. He comes off the track. That when he loses somebody close and a big tragedy, he comes off track. But we, our objective is to remember Allah all the time. Allah says, whether it's happiness or sadness, who should you remember? Your Rabb. Your Rabb. It doesn't take within a second of your life shouldn't pass without Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Wala dhikr Allahi akbar. That's why Allah Ta'ala said that my dhikr is very great indeed. And such events and such examples and such incidents that occur in our lives, and we can remember Allah. For example, we're sitting here, it's the night of Jummah. Alhamdulillah, we are swimming in the rain of mercy, in the pool of mercy. Allah's got a mercy, so many angels, millions of them, Allah's rewards and forgiveness and Jannah, and our trees will be planted in Jannah. We're getting all of this. We're getting all of this. Allah Ta'ala has given this to us. He's going to give this to us. He's given it to us. So, and if we do dhikr of Allah by saying to Allah, Allah, we are grateful to you, that's good. Allah says, that's fine. You've come to the masjid. I sent you to my home. You did dhikr. And it was announced that dhikr is going to happen. We know that dhikr is happening. You've come and you're habitual in doing dhikr. Allah says, this is not a great achievement. Allah says, the achievement is that you are traveling and the tire gets punctured, and instead of crying or complaining or swearing at the car or the tire, and silly words come to our mouths and the tongue, and dirty words and swearing words, we shouldn't say rubbish. But Allah says, why don't you say that time? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. That your dhikr, Allah says, you waste your time. You waste the opportunities. Allah says, remember me at that time when you've forgotten me. SubhanAllah, Allah's shan. Allah's greatness, Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. Allah says, not achievement in a big way, is not that at the time of remembrance you're remembering me. Allah says, no, but at the time when people forget me, when they say wrong words or miss inappropriate actions, Allah says, remember me at that time, and that's when this reward will be massive indeed. Massive indeed. My brothers, this is the point we need to understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives difficulties and problems to people, here, let's learn another point. We are silly. We are foolish. I say myself, foolish and stupid, that we don't understand what is the reward that comes behind the difficulties and problems. Allah ta'ala doesn't give difficulties to us and problems. We don't get problems. Allah gives problems to His mahbubeen, His beloved people. Allah says, the more problems they have, the more they will run back to me. I want their darajat to be so high when they come to me, because Allah says, I love these people. And the person who gets the more difficulties and the more problems, this is the sign of being beloved to Allah. The sign of a person who is beloved to Allah. If he follows the path as it's been explained, that subhanAllah, if we see the sketch of the world from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam until today and beyond, that who got the most difficulties? Look at the history. Let's take the files of the Nabis. Nobody can compare. Nobody compare to the amount that our master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, received problems and difficulties. Nobody received more problems and difficulties than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why did he receive so many problems? He was the Nabi and the greatest Nabi, and this world and the universe was created due to him, and all the stars and the nature and creation, everything that was takhliq and created was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it should be that we cannot imagine that he would ever have a difficulty. Our standard, our intellect says that the person who is more beloved, he swims in the pool of the roses and the flowers. But the story continues from Makkah. The story continues from Makkah, and it never ended. And where did it end? In Al-Karbala. Decades after, the story continues, the trial and the test, and no example in history can meet the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's difficulties. Subhanallah, when subhanallah the moon twinkled and glowed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out and said, accept me, qulu la ilaha illallah, I am the Prophet of Allah. And every day of his life and the journey of the deen Islam has spread, every single day, the time of Taif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the pain I experienced and the difficulty in Taif, never did I experience more pain than any other day. And if we had such pain, we would hit those other people. For example, imagine you throw stones at somebody, it will not be that the person does not experience pain, but he can never get to the point that you throw so many stones that the blood flows from the body through, due to the throwing of the stones and the wounds, that the blood flows through down to the slippers and the slippers stick to the feet. But look at the history. Rasulullah that day in Taif, so many stones and rocks were thrown on him, blood flowed from his body and it flowed down to his feet, and his feet stuck to his slippers. And the angels came, and Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, give him the order, I will wave my wings and crumble the mountains to dust so that these people are buried. But Rasulullah said, no, maybe one person one day from these people will become a Muslim and my efforts will be successful. And we are the ummah of Rasulullah. And this is how Rasulullah remembered Allah, and he gave us a dars and a reminder that where is the mahbub, the beloved of Allah. And imagine all the tests and the trials and the challenges that came after that. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah loved his daughter Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra and her children. And subhanallah, whenever Rasulullah would be there at their house, there would be hungry and poverty, the children had no food, no medicine, no food for medicine, no money for medicine, no clothes are torn. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, he would put his beloved tongue into their mouths and they would suck on the tongue, and subhanallah, Jannah would flow from that household. Jannah. In his house, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house, could he not give her a slave or a worker, a servant? But Rasulullah said, no, for you is the dhikr of Allah. This is that Nabi. So generous, and they persevered through the difficult times. Why? He was Mahbubi Rabbil Alameen, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take the lives of the awliya Allah. I've seen in my own life the walis of Allah. No material gain, nothing that they could say like today we do, that we've got the happiness. But they persevered with the patience. The more a person is close to Allah, they have difficulties and problems. When we get difficulties, oh, what sin did I commit that Allah has given me this problem and difficulty? If only we could realize what is servanthood, and if only from our tongues we said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If only. I'm saying this in the gathering, that in this gathering I ask myself, and we should ask ourselves, that how many difficulties and problems have we had in our lives, and how many times do we recite this kalima? Even when we get a tire puncture, we don't recite this kalima. But all we know is A. am I a member of the AAE or AC? Or call this person, call that. We'll remember that. But we don't remember, Allah, that this is your car. You gave me this vehicle. You're the one who allowed me to travel. And the puncture came due to your permission. And your permission will give me the solution to this issue. And the sakina that comes into the heart at that time, this is the great ruqayya. This is the great assistance that whenever a person gets into a problem, jinnat come and shaitan come and problems come, difficulty, poverty, people don't have clothes and illness and cancer and family problems and issues. Everything will happen in life and these things are going to happen. This is the life and these will happen. But we should say, Allah, please don't forget me. Allah says, why have you forgotten me? Why have you run off to the other solutions and people to fix your problems? Allah says, don't you know this whole world exists due to my dhikr? Remember me, even if you've got this problem, and I will give you the ajr and the reward and the solution. This kalima, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. Allahu Akbar, this is such a beautiful and soothing kalima and solution. And it's not just that Allah will leave us empty-handed, that if I start to tell you the list of the rewards for reciting this kalima, that in the hadith it's mentioned so many rewards for reciting this kalima. One kalima remembers, brothers, that just don't forget your Lord. Don't forget Allah in happiness. Not in happiness, you start lighting the candles, cutting the cakes and fitna. These are all things that make us forget Allah. Allah is severely displeased that I gave you happiness and you waste your time and effort and money on wasteful activities, and children are born and you start to waste your money and time on parties. Allah says, I've given you the tariqah of being grateful for a child who's born. Do you know how to be grateful to Allah? Allah Ta'ala said, I've given the example. And in both states of happiness and sadness, where has happiness come from? Allah. So first and foremost, we should turn to Allah. Mawla, this happiness has come from you. Look at this. Eid, we say Eid. So what is the Eid that we commemorate? What do we do on the day of Eid? The day of celebration. Before the sun rises, what do we do? That we come to Allah, we prostrate 2 rak'ah of being grateful to Allah. 2 rak'ah for shukr. This is the Eid Salah. Eid Salah is the 2 rak'ah of shukr. And the whole life is like this. That we should do, we should be prostrating Allah. That Allah, you've given me this happiness and you've given me this sadness. And this will become eternal happiness for you and rewards will become eternal for you. And if sadness comes, then even then we shouldn't say bad words from our mouth that we become used to. We swear from our mouths and speak rubbish when we have problems and distress and difficulties. No, we should say, Allah, we are yours. We are going to come to you eventually. Allah, this is you who has given us this difficulty. Is nothing. This is what's tuberculosis, TB, illness, problem, issues, difficulties, nothing. And the standard should be that every day we'll have problems. Sometimes it happens that if I write, where's my pen? And the problem comes to my mind and I recite this kalima. Subhanallah, the angels will descend. Mashallah, Ustad, you are lucky. Allah hid this pen because Allah wanted you to recite this kalima and to elevate your rank and your status. Here's the pen, and they make you remember where your pen is. That if a child of yours becomes disobedient, this happened in history, not that you start beating with the sticks and swearing him and the storm brews and you go to the magician and the jinn master. No, straight away turn to Allah when the child is misbehaving and recite the kalima. Allah straight away will let the angels come to you. Allah says that you are my pious, upright servant and you obey me. Allah Ta'ala says, you remembered me upon this time, so I will come to you. So change your direction. This majlis that we have, my brothers, this is the mean for this majlis. This is tazkiyah, rectification. We need to turn ourselves and focus on Allah. And we revise the sabak, the lesson that don't forget Allah in happiness and sadness, ease and difficulty. Don't forget your Rabb. That you should remember Allah within a second, you'll become so elevated that you cannot imagine. And if you forget Allah, you will drown so much that you cannot imagine. And just, we don't understand the ibadah that Allah has given to us that will be useful to us. The point is that don't forget Allah. And this is the most important thing to learn and understand, that at what time, in which state and difficulty will we remember Allah, which will give us salvation eternal. So 3 things become lazim on a person. For example, you lose a key, or someone says something and it gives you a problem and you go home and there's distress. Or for example, I put my kurta here, my kameez, where's it gone? Or I open the tap, instead of hot water comes out, the cold water comes out. Or just little problems we get every day at home, at outside in the world. Well, I was wearing these clothes and it's not ready, it's not being ironed. Oh, my watch, where's it gone? These are things that happen every day. I wanted to go quickly and I'm late, I'm 5 minutes late. And if you come to Salah, it happens. Allah Ta'ala says that even a little bit of difficulty comes to you, you earn this difficulty, who should you remember? Allah says, remember me. And this kalima, remember me with this kalima. Allah says, this kalima is beloved to me. Otherwise Allah would have given us a different kalima. So how do we remember Allah in the time of difficulty? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. We think we have to recite this when someone dies. That when we hear somebody's died, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. Is it just when people die we say this? Is this it? So my brothers, Beloved people, they are given the things that when you get an issue, a difficulty, a problem, then straight to understand Allah's mercy is coming to me. Allah's given me the source of goodness. When something's getting delayed, some restrictions in your life or obstacles, don't start crying, complaining, forgetting. Other people do this, beating your chest. No, start to remember Allah. Start to remember Allah. What is the sign of the beloved of Allah? That the beloveds of Allah remember Allah. And the biggest example is in front of us, the Imam of the Prophets. And where does this end? Subhanallah. There. That where does this issue finish? Where does this phase finish? In Karbala. That how much pain Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt. The Hazrat Ibn Abbas felt in the night of Karbala. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's and the hair was spread out in his hand. There was a bottle, and Rasulullah Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas asked him, "What is this?" And you're looking distressed, and the tears, you're crying. And I've just come from Karbala, and all the people who shaheed in Karbala, I have just collected their blood. This was the awlad. This was the offspring. And these are the rawayat, the traditions, the narrations. So my brothers, that whose test was this? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them as very beloved and close to Allah, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. So just like the people who were shaheed, the shuhada Karbala, were beloved to Rasulullah, and they had pain and difficulty. The pain started from the time of Rasulullah, the prophethood, time to the time of Karbala. So the same way, the wali of Allah, the pious people, the good people, if they persevere and they remember Allah, then Allah gives them the reward, the ajr. In the time of happiness, they remember Allah. In the time of sadness, they remember Allah. They have the afflictions and the wounds of the problems and the difficulties. The people in the world say, look, this person's got an extreme difficult life. This problem number one, problem number two, problem number three, this issue, this difficulty. Oh, look, these people, this man, he prays salah. Oh, I fasted Allah, I prayed salah, and you're not giving me ease in my life. But other person who has difficulty says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is very beneficial tonight that we've discussed. We should do amal on this, me and you. Whenever a problem comes, any scale of problem, small to large degree, Allah says that we are bashar, we are human beings. We have to absorb this. Of course we'll be scared or fearful, but go back towards your Lord. Just like the mother, subhanAllah, when the child has a difficulty, where does he run? Mother, for example, slaps the child. Even then the child goes back to the mother, isn't it? You get the slaps from the mother. If the mother says, go away, you naughty boy, you did this or that, or naughty child, or naughty whatever, the offspring. But the same way the insan, when he commits wrong, or he has a difficulty, we should cry and run back to Allah. And this is the link and the meaning of love between Allah and His creation. What does Allah do? When the child's son, the daughter ran back and she had just slapped the child and scolded them, then Allah Ta'ala grabs the child, go take some money and buy a toffee or a sweet. Shaitan, you don't listen. She's given love and she's given money to the child. Allah Ta'ala does the same. You are useless, you do shaitaniyat, you commit sins, and now you come back to me. Okay, I embrace you and go, and all the rahman, the mercy of you, all your previous sins are forgiven and your future sins are forgiven. Go and live in the world. So Allah Ta'ala loves more than 70,000 mothers to his servants and the human beings. But we don't try to solve the problems properly. We think we know the best method. Okay, if I do this, this will solve this problem. And if I do this, this will solve this problem. O servants of Allah, forget everything and come back to the remembrance of your Lord. Allah, you gave to me and you took away from me, or you gave me the difficulty, and sleep with ease. And you have the difficulty, Allah, you will decide, and just keep on reciting this kalima, and from Allah Ta'ala the decision will come and the ease will come as well. So will we do this, my brothers? That's good, very good. Now let's recite Durood Sharif, let's start remembering Allah. Because do the dhikr of Allah and don't forget Allah. This is a great action of foolish people. I keep on explaining and requesting. Why? Why don't you come? You don't come in the morning, you don't come in the evening. Why don't we understand this point, that dhikr of Allah is a great deed, a great action? Why don't we create the link with Allah? Why? Money is not a big thing. Dunya is not a big thing. Everything will terminate. They're not even equivalent to the atom, the dust. But the person who remembers Allah for a second, that becomes the most precious and valuable second. Not his sleep, beloved to us, nor is our shop. Yes, have a business, transaction, work. But do it in such a way that you should not detach from Allah Ta'ala's remembrance at that time. Allah will ask tomorrow that you left the majlis due to your shop. Who made this majlis? Who? Allah. Who establishes the majlis in the morning? Who? Allah. Who sends us? Allah. Whose masjid is it? Allah. Whose is Fajr? Allah. So where are you, brothers, at that time? Such a great preparation Allah has given, a preparation for His dhikr, His majlis, that we didn't even know about dhikr before. Is it? Did anybody know? Nobody knew before what was dhikr. After Fajr, who? Until today, I've not heard that there's a halaqah of dhikr anywhere. Anyway, and who prepared this? Allah. You? Where was I? At the shop. Oh, I was feeling sleepy. Where were you? I was tired. Where were you? Oh, I was driving the taxi. Allah will say, is this your shukr? And I was nothing for you? I was nothing for you? Fine, do the things in the world. But don't waste this time, these 15, 20 minutes in the morning. Come from your beds, from your shop, come straight. Even if you have to sleep, Allah Ta'ala says that you are so beloved to me that you've come tired and your eyes are closed and you're doing my dhikr. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. And the angels will be proud of that person, that insan, that can he ever live like this? That, for example, he's got problems. If Allah Ta'ala is displeased, will he be displeased with such a person? The question doesn't arise. How will Allah Ta'ala be displeased with such a person? Allah says, don't take your life in your own hands. Rather, give it in the hands of Allah, my brothers. Give it in Allah Ta'ala's hands. Allah Ta'ala says, when you give to Allah Ta'ala, if you give yourself, fair enough. If you wake up in the morning, you have a bath and you comb your hair and you put fragrance on your body and you make yourself look good and put the oil there and you comb yourself. Allah says, what's this? This is fard. You come to fajr and I told you have to pray, but the kamal is that if you stayed after fajr and stayed until ishraq, then I'd say that you love me and you've sacrificed your time. This was fard. You got up, you bathe, and then afterwards you eat and you wash your hands and you put the fragrance on and you wear the clean clothes and the imam and you come and stand in the prayer. Allah says, why are you proud of this? And you think you've achieved? You think you're a wali? The walis were those who gave up their sleep and their rest and they rejected the time that they could have just spent wasting time and they sat down and remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, will I give to you or those people? Go run away from me, Allah ta'ala says. That hey, you prayed salah due to it being compulsory, that if you don't pray, you will go into the prison and you'll get the punishment. Allah ta'ala said, this was my law. The law, when you come to fajr, what happens? Allah ta'ala says, the angels, they will remind you. They will do something, they will remind you. So praying salah is not a favor on Allah. What's this arrow that we fired out? We pray salah in the morning. What's this bullseye we think we fired out? I come to fajr or pray other salahs in the day. That person who doesn't pray is the worst. He's the coward. He's totally lost any sense of deen. But the person who comes and prays salah, he thinks he's hit the bullseye. He's coming out to the fear of Allah. If I don't pray, he's farad and the angels will beat me and scold me. He's doing that out of fear. And the person who doesn't have fear of Allah, he's shameless. How will he stand in front of Allah? Those people, they have no chance. So shamelessness, there should be even a worse word than this for those who don't praise Allah. They have no recognition. They're worse than the animals. Allah says in the Quran, these people are worse than the animals. They don't have the fear or the khawf of Allah. They don't even pray. But the person who comes to pray the fard, he thinks he's hit the bullseye. That's not a big action or achievement. Allah says, those things that are nafal, voluntary, for which there is no dire necessity. But if you come to me out of your own accord and will and time, then Allah says, I'll give you my love in exchange. So this is the ibadah that we should be doing. So will you come in the morning? Inshallah, tomorrow is Jummah. The morning of Jummah, and this halakha should be formed with the dhikr of Allah. So sacrifice your time. You have to sacrifice the time. You're feeling sleepy, you won't feel like coming, shaitan will grab, and you will feel like you want to do something else, and you feel sleepy and dozy and think about the shop and business. Let the sleep come, because who does sleep belong to? Allah. So if Allah Ta'ala takes a job away tomorrow, what will we do then? Tell me then. I saw a person crying. And he was outside the masjid, outside the same masjid. I said, what's happened to you? And he's crying, such ajeeb and weird like condition. I said, what's happened? He said, just nothing. I said, what's happened? Why are you crying? He's shrieking and crying. He just prayed salah. He said, I was coming into the masjid and two men were going into the masjid. Allah, look at his recognition, the fear of Allah. He said, one man was walking with a limp and the other person, he was a little bit disabled. So I was coming fast and my heart, I felt a bit bad that they are coming in my way and my prayer is passing and my time is wasting. And he said, I stopped there. He said, this thought, how did it come into my mind that these people, they are walking in front of me slow and they're the creation of Allah. If I could get to the Jama'ah quickly, how did I think that these people are delaying me? Why don't they go behind me? Why don't they walk faster? He said, I just stopped there. I couldn't dare that I present myself in front of my Rabb. If Allah Ta'ala made me worse than them, what would I do? If I was worse, then he was crying and shrieking and screaming at that time. I tell you the truth. All the thawab. He said, Allah, please forgive me that I give all of my thawab of today to these two people. Otherwise, how did I think bad about them in my mind? About your makhluk, your creation. How did I think bad about them? This is khawf of Allah and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, we don't even realize what is the haq. We don't have the awareness. We are worse than the animals. Worse than the animals. Allahu Akbar. The four or five salah we pray in the day, and we think we've achieved. What is this? So much ibadat Allah Ta'ala has kept despite salah, through which we get the love of Allah. But we don't think about it. We never think about this. We don't have love with Allah's makhluk, His creation, the servants of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, I love most my creation. And the person who loves the creation of Allah, he loves Allah. Tell me. But we don't even remember Allah as such. The person passed away, maybe I told you this event before. Bani Israel, he lived in the time of Musa alayhi salam, and the angels, they took his soul and took him up towards his destination. He was going towards Jahannam. And on the way, Allah Ta'ala said, ask him, question him, that did you do anything good in your life? Did you do any good action that you lived such a long life, that 90 years? Did you do any good deed, pious deed? And he didn't have any deeds to him. He said, good deeds? Pious deeds? He said, forget that. I have nothing in my name, in my record. I wasted my life. But he said, I've got one action and I'm a bit ashamed presenting it or communicating it, that it can't be worth anything. They said, what? He said, I used to run my business and people used to take on loan from me, debt. And he said, forget it, I won't tell you. They said, no, tell us. The angel said, and he couldn't identify this as a good deed. What did Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? Even something equivalent to a speck of dust or an atom or molecule will be accepted as a good deed. Allah said, even when I put in front of you a dharra, we'll say this is nothing. I did nothing. But even the good deed equivalent to a dharra, atom's weight, a speck of dust, Allah says, do you know what I will give to you in repayment to that atom's weight of good deed? Allahu Akbar. Is this a word? Dharra? A little minute particle? Allah says, even a particle's weight of a good deed, recognize it, is very valuable for you. Very well. But that's separate. Allah Ta'ala says, Walla dhikrullahi akbar. Allah says, dhikr is the greatest action, and we leave dhikr. Imagine our qismat, our destiny, our iman, our status. Allah says that if don't even leave a deed which is the weight of the speck of a dust, and Allah Ta'ala says extreme to the opposite, wala dhikr Allahu akbar. We say, what is this dhikr? I ain't got time to do dhikr. I ain't got time. So we leave the akbar, we leave the greatest deed which doesn't even take effort and energy. We should be running to here in the cars, always a gathering of dhikr. What difference does it make? We'll pray fajr there and do dhikr there, and from there we'll go to work. Because wala dhikrahi akbar. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Allah Ta'ala, has he said this word akbar with any other ibadah? Tell me in two words. Ridwan Allah akbar. Ridwan Allah akbar. The Allah Ta'ala's radha is the greatest. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. And Allah's dhikr is the greatest. So we hear here that Allah Ta'ala's radha, pleasure, it meets and links with the word of dhikr of Allah. Because ridwan Allah akbar, Allah's pleasure is the greatest. Wala dhikrullahi akbar and the dhikr of Allah is the greatest. And these two things meet. So Allah's pleasure is linked to dhikr. And those people, Ghaus and Qutb, who say that again to Jannah, is due to Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. So the angels will say to him, tell us, what deed did you do? He said, no. Have you got any deed? They'll ask him. He said, okay, maybe one deed. I used to run my business, and people used to come and ask me for a loan, and I used to give them money as a loan. And it was my habit that I wouldn't run after the person who I loaned the money to. And when they used to come near to me, I'd say it's fine, you can give a bit later, don't give it straight away. In giving and taking, I was a bit weak. If somebody took my money, for example, oh, take it from me tomorrow, take it the next day, oh, and this wasn't my habit. For example, if someone asked me, and I'd say, okay, come to me tomorrow, come after the next day, and I wouldn't give to them. No, I would always give. And sometimes after giving, some people say, when are you going to give? When are you going to give? When are you going to give? No, I wasn't like that. Subhanallah. So someone says, oh look, you're working now, why don't you repay me back? No, looks, the teaching we have here is that the qarz is bigger than faraz, because there's one point in faraz than compulsory. So there's two in giving and taking. You shouldn't give, nor should you take, because we take with so easily. But when we give back, it's so difficult for us. So difficult. We take with ease and give back with difficulty. So for example, when we have to give, we say it's difficulty to loan, and to take back is easy for us to run after that person. So the person who takes the money as a loan, he takes it so quickly and easily and makes promises. But when we have to give it back, it's difficult. Subhanallah. So he said, my situation of giving and taking was very, very soft. When I had to give to people, when they asked me for a loan, I'd give them easily. And when it came to taking back, I would never run after them. Allah Ta'ala gave an order, change his direction and send him to paradise. Why? The angels, they asked, why Allah? Because so that the people after him can learn. Allah said, for this reason, that subhanAllah, he is greater. That if he can forgive people, Allah says, can I not forgive? I have forgiven this person as well. Allah Ta'ala said, Allah says, Eve greater than me in forgiveness. Is this ibadah for us? No, for us it's not ibadah. It's not worship. And this is our day and night playing. Just do dhikr and give us the umrah and hajj and this person's money, and that we're ready to do everything. But the asal ibadah, we don't do this. So brothers, if we create this sense within us that we recognize Allah, we understand who is Allah and how should we please Allah. And to please Allah is very easy indeed, my brothers, very easy. We've made our own basis and criterion. These are the three or four actions I'm going to do, an ibadah and worship, and Allah will be pleased with me. Allah says, what about the thousands of other deeds I've given you solutions? But today we have raya and fraud, deception and lying. The worship actions that we implement to please Allah, For example, prayer and adhkar and dhikr, it's totally filled with the contamination and negatives, and we think they're accepted. If it's Allah Ta'ala's extreme fadl, if He accepts, we are doing the faraid, and it's Allah's rahmah if He accepts. But further than that, these examples, we should do actions that earn Allah's pleasure. But Allah, if we say to Allah, Allah, I did all these compulsory deeds and farad, and You told me to do this, please give me Jannah, Allah will say that this was a must. Allahu Akbar. But we, in our deeds and our worship, we have riya and we have pride and takabbur from the first niyyah to the end. The whole shop of the bad niyyah runs. Not our ibadah, we are talking and gossiping and dunya. Allahu Akbar, we say in salah, I've got to go here, pay this bill, meet this person, this transaction, this meeting. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi. I don't know, am I doing salam to the angel next to me or to the person who's sitting next to me? I don't even know this. Alhamdulillah, Allah gives us this tawfiq to pray. At least we're accepting Allah Ta'ala's order. We're obeying Allah Ta'ala's order, Allah's karam, that He's brought us to the masjid and He's made us do such an ibadah, such a worship deed, and we are so hopeful of Allah Ta'ala's mercy that He will accept these deeds. But the great deed, except the best deed and the proper deed, is to implement those actions to assist others that will earn Allah's pleasure and acceptance and forgiveness straight away. Don't deceive anyone, don't lie to anyone, don't defraud anybody, and treat other people well and assist them in their problems and live in society nicely. Have good deeds with people, have good manners and behavior. People who exceed against you, have good manners with them. Somebody slaps you, have love for that person. Don't take revenge on everything in life. Who taught us this, that take revenge? If someone hits you, you take revenge on that person. This is not deen. If somebody is exceeding against you and imposing himself on you and doing wrong to you, then embrace that person and say to that person, Jazakallah khair, and I won't take revenge. This is called the good deeds. May Allah Ta'ala have His rahmah upon us and His rahmah upon us, and give us all the tawfiq to implement this. Ameen.